Evangelist Vincent, an anointed man of God who has been called to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God with clarity and to heal the sick and the oppressed.
Today I want to talk to you about something that God has placed on my heart that is evident and necessary to hear for everybody. And it is the message this morning is God of the second chance. Hallelujah. God is a God by nature to always give a second chance. That's God's very nature. And it's important that we get an understanding this morning of the second chance, because the mystery and the miracle often happens in the second chance. Because in the flesh and in the world and in our carnal viewpoint, we often make ourselves believe that we have messed up and that a second chance, well, if we even get one, most of us don't think we deserve one because we are under condemnation after messing up one time. But if we do get a second chance, we don't think that is just going to be any good. It's just going to be second best. But I want to show you from the Word of God today that the second chance is God's best. Hallelujah. I want to take you first into the reading of the book of Luke, chapter 15. We will stay in the book of Luke today, but we'll open our Bible. We might turn that open a little bit more so that you can all read your Bible. If you can read your Bible where you are, shout amen.
Amen.
We're just getting the light right. Praise God. You'll see many changes coming in this place. We're going to make this absolutely five star. Amen. Hallelujah. No, we don't want that. Praise God. We only use that. Praise God. So you can read your Bible. Amen. We can also read the Bible on the screen because we'll be followed right here on the projector. I'm going to read to you from Luke chapter 15. Read with me. We read out loud, for faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Hallelujah. That's fine. That's fine. No, don't change anything. Leave at this position exactly as it is. It's fine. Hallelujah. Praise God. Luke chapter 15. A certain man had two sons. And as you already know the topic, one needs a second chance. I'm reading from verse 11. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. In other words, give me my inheritance in advance before you pass on. Give me my inheritance now. So the father divided and gave him his portion. We all know the story, what happens. This son ends up spending everything, ends up wasting everything, and he ends up with absolutely nothing. He ends up eating that what the swines are eating, and he gets himself into the biggest mess. But 17 is my emphasis. Verse 17. And when he came to himself, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. There is a moment in pretty much everybody's life where we have to come to ourselves and we see nothing changed in this particular son who is a prodigal. That means he's reckless. That means he wasted everything that he had and ended up with absolutely nothing. This prodigal or reckless son didn't change anything about his life until he came to himself. That is the changing point. That is the moment in which the realization hits us. And that's when you're ready for the second chance. I'm picking it up from verse 21. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. No echo. And am no more worthy to be called thy son. So the first thing he does when he comes to his senses, he realizes that he has sinned. It's okay to make a mistake as long as you realize it was a mistake. God forgives mistakes, praise God, hallelujah. We have to also forgive ourselves. So first we realize that we sinned against God or we messed up. We ask God to forgive us. We realize when we come to ourselves that we have sinned against others. The prodigal son realized, he said, I have sinned against heaven, and he has sinned against his father. Condemnation was still upon him. He said, I am no more worthy. But God has a different opinion of you if you make a mistake. Hallelujah. God's greatest servants in this word, the Holy Bible, all make mistakes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But the father said to his servants, no, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. Let him know that he has a position. Let him know that he is of importance. Let him know that he has value. When he has a precious metal ring around his finger, his self-esteem goes back up. Hallelujah. He belongs to the family. Put shoes on his feet. Make sure that he gets planted right this time. Hallelujah. And bring over here the fattest calf and kill it so we can eat and be merry. For this, my son was dead and is alive again. Here, the father of the prodigal son, which in the parable of God's kingdom is the heavenly father, gives him a second chance. Hallelujah. A second chance given unto him. And instead of the father being angry, the father is happy. The father is rejoicing. Hallelujah. There was only one person, which was his brother, who didn't catch the revelation, who didn't understand God's grace. And that person became a bit wrath and angry that this prodigal son just went about and wasted everything, put the family to shame, and now there is a party because he is back. But that's exactly how the Father in heaven does. Hallelujah. He didn't come to condemn you. He came to save you. Praise God. He didn't come to put judgment upon you. He came to save you out of that judgment. Hallelujah. And if you mess up, he is there for you. As long as you come to your senses, he will give you a second chance. Hallelujah. He is the God of forgiveness. He will forgive you for whatever you've done every time you ask for his forgiveness. Praise God. His forgiveness is never ending. Just come to your senses. Hallelujah. Some of you have messed up. Some of you have made mistakes, but you haven't had the Luke 15:17 moment, which is coming to yourself. Hallelujah. When he came to himself again, when he got in touch again with his spirit man. Hallelujah. When he touched again with that part that God created that was inside of him. Hallelujah. His spirit, he realized, wait a minute. Praise God. How many servants are in my father's house? He realized he had a father. You may realize today you have a father in heaven who hasn't given up on you at all. Praise God. Better things are yet to come. The second chance will be the breakthrough that you've been waiting for. Hallelujah. The second chance can bring forth more success, more prosperity, more joy, more peace, and more anointing than the first chance would have ever allowed you to have. Hallelujah, somebody. There is a secret and a mystery in grabbing the second chance from the forgiving God in heaven. Hallelujah. May I remind you, as I'm on that topic right now, that when King David killed somebody, hallelujah, he killed somebody, he committed adultery, then he killed somebody, but then he asked God to forgive him. He knew he had sinned against God. He was anointed king of Israel. He was the most important person that God had on the earth in that day. He was ruling the nation of God. He was ruling the people of God. He was in charge of Israel. And there he goes and messes everything up by becoming an adulterous murderer. But when he came to his senses, he realized how he had angered God with his sin, and he wept before God. He was remorseful before God, and he asked God to forgive him, and God gave him a second chance. Hallelujah. God never took away his title of king. God never stripped him of his fortune, of his kingdom. No, God gave him a second chance. And out of that new, praise God, situation, out of that second chance, David brought forth powerful man of God that we are reading and learning from today. Hallelujah. David went from glory to glory. In fact, David became a better king than he ever was before. Hallelujah. In fact, David moved in a higher anointing than he ever moved before. In fact, David knew what it was to humble himself. In fact, after that, David wrote the best Psalms. Hallelujah. That we are in inspired by today, because David became a humble servant. He began to realize that he is nothing without God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the second chance, you are more humble than you were before. And as you are smaller, God is bigger. And therefore, the anointing and favor on your life will flow more than ever before. Praise God. Hallelujah. It is good to be in the second chance. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to skip over to Luke 23. Hallelujah. Praise God. We know, praise God, from the book of Romans, we don't go there right now, but there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Condemnation is the hindrance to the second chance. Hallelujah. If there is condemnation, it is the block for you to get your second chance. Get away from the condemnation. Begin to understand that when God says there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, that applies to you after you messed up. That applies to you after you made a mistake. Hallelujah. There is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Praise God. I just want to make sure there's enough light so we can share this with the rest of the world. Praise God. Only you can see it through the lens if I'm lit up enough for that lens to capture me. Praise God. What I want to tell you, praise God, is that if there is condemnation, too much. If there is condemnation, praise God, it will hold you back. Condemnation is something that is of the devil. Thank you, Jesus. We're back on the flow right now. If you could be under condemnation after a mistake, then Romans 8:1 would have to be removed from the Bible. Which would also mean that you would have to live a perfect life before the Lord. Which is impossible, because you would place yourself under the law, and the book of Galatians tells us then we are under a curse. Being in Christ, understand the term in Christ. Romans 8:1, there is now no condemnation to you that are in Christ. You are in Christ. Does that mean you are perfect? Well, not for me. Probably not for you either. We cannot be perfect. Only Jesus Christ is perfect. Hallelujah. Was perfect and always will be perfect. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can only go on to perfection. That means that God knows that we will make mistakes. We will mess up along the way, just like Moses and Aaron, just like Daniel, just like all of these great people. Messed things up. Hallelujah. Look at Paul, for example, the one who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, when he was called Saul. He persecuted God's church and God's children. He was a murderer. But God gave him a second chance, and he became the greatest apostle that ever lived. Hallelujah. You are no under condemnation after your mistake. You are still in Christ. Hallelujah. The very fact that you are in Christ is because you have the ability to come to yourself by the help of the Holy Ghost, which will convict you when you've messed up. Hallelujah. And when it's time to go back on your knees and ask the Lord to forgive you. Hallelujah. You are saved by grace. Praise the Lord, somebody. Hallelujah. You are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. You are in Christ Jesus because of your faith, and because of his grace, he saved you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't let condemnation stand in the way for your second chance. Hallelujah. Amen. Know that God is a forgiving God. He forgives you and brings you into a higher level than you were before. That will bring us to Luke 23, and that is a picture of the ultimate grace of God displayed, hallelujah, in front of the entire world. God makes one massive declaration and statement about grace. Should anybody ever doubt grace, hallelujah. God has something better for you, and that's why he's causing me to utter this by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. Did you know that the most successful enterprises, the most successful organizations are that successful and are that prosperous because they are in their second, third, fourth, and some fifth chance. Hallelujah. Before Donald Trump, one of the greatest real estate developers in the world, before he became even known and established an organization, he writes in his autobiography that he was $6 billion, billion with a B for Bravo, in debt. And he said, well, if you lose, you might as well lose big. Because it still don't matter whether you lose 100,000 or 6 billion, they'll call you a loser anyway. So if you lose, you might as well gamble big and lose big. But he got back out of it and turned it around into a property portfolio of $9 billion. It just goes to show that even a man like that, who professes to be a Presbyterian Christian, at least he admits to everybody in form of encouragement that when you mess up, it's not over. Hallelujah. It's just setting you up for bigger things. It's setting you up for more wisdom. It's setting you up for more understanding. It is setting you up for more grounding. Hallelujah. And it's giving you humbleness so that when you reach that what God has given you in talents and in destiny, you will not fall from it because you know where you're coming from. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is beginning to rise up his church, his people, his New Testament spiritual Israel is being risen up. Hallelujah. Have you ever noticed in the Old Testament that Israel, the Old Testament people of God, were excelling beyond any other nation? Hallelujah. The nation was called the apple of God's eye. Praise God. It was blessed. It was favored. The people were favored. And even though they made their many mistakes, God showed his mercy on them time and time again. But they excelled, they prospered, and they were a nation to be reckoned with. They were a nation that stood apart from any other nation. Hallelujah. Guess what you are? You are the New Testament nation of Israel. Hallelujah. You are the body of Christ Jesus. Oh, praise God, somebody, this morning.
Amen.
Luke 23:39. Luke 23:39. And when one of the malefactors, one of the men, which were hanged That means crucified on crosses right next to the Lord in the middle, railed on him, you know, began to say all sorts of things and more in an argumentative way, had a go at him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." Now, that's the one who had it all wrong. And that's the one who loses everything and doesn't get the second chance. Because for a start, he begins to have a go at God. And secondly, he is disrespectful to the Lord. And thirdly, he has no sense of remorse. He is not repenting. He is not asking for forgiveness. He doesn't even realize he has never come to himself. He's just commanding with doubt, "If you Christ, then save yourself and us." But the other answering, the other man on the other side, on the crucifixion, rebuked that man, saying, "Dost not thou fear God?" Don't you fear God? See, wherever there is the fear of God, there is hope. Hallelujah. There is hope that there will be faith. Praise God. Don't you fear God? How can you say, don't you realize who you're hanging next to? Don't you realize that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Hallelujah. How can you say, "Oh, don't you fear God?" Do you have no fear of God at all? Seeing thou art in the same condemnation, you don't even realize you're condemned right now. You're about to die and you don't even know where you're going. Now this one has come to himself, and he was a thief. The Bible tells us he was a thief, and he was hanging on the cross. His judgment on earth was crucifixion, just as it was given by the Jews to Jesus Christ. And we indeed justify, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. We deserve this, basically. But this man, pointing to Jesus Christ the Lord, has done nothing wrong. See, we deserve what we get. I mean, look at us. We've just been robbing, stealing. We've just been done everything wrong. So we deserve what we get. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said unto Jesus, "Lord," very different attitude than the other one, "if thou art Christ." No, "Lord." Respects him, calls him by his true title, "Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom." Already having shown in the previous conversation with the other man that by rebuking him that he is remorseful, that he understands that this judgment for him is just. But he said, "Lord, remember me when you go into your kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Today you will be with me in paradise. Hallelujah. Little bit more. Today you will be with me in paradise. God's ultimate display of grace. God's ultimate display of the second chance. Are you hearing that?
Amen.
This man never went to church. God had mercy on him. This man never went to Bible study. God had mercy on him. This man had not been baptized in water. God had mercy on him. This man had not been baptized in the Holy Ghost. God had mercy on him. This man didn't even speak in tongues. God had mercy on him. God understood that his heart was right, and he asked the Lord to have mercy on him in his conversation and rebuking that thief on the other side. And he just said, "Lord, I know who you are. I fear God. Please remember me when you go into your kingdom." He understood the message of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. He understood by even saying this that God is a God of the second chance, and that it is not over even when you are looking death in the very eye, hanging on a cross. Praise God. And Jesus confirmed it straight away and said, "You are right. Today, in fact, today even, you'll be with me in paradise." Not in 1,000 years, not in 2,000 years, but today you'll be with me in paradise. Hallelujah. There was a woman, praise God, who was brought into the temple because she had committed adultery. Had committed adultery. And these Pharisee Jews, these religious Pharisee Jews, they grabbed hold of her and they were rejoicing in a way because they grabbed her in the act. They had caught her in the act of adultery and they dragged her into the middle of the temple, barely closed, as they just pulled her out of the place that she was in. And they put her in the middle of the temple. They wanted to put her to shame. But Jesus was there. Hallelujah. Grace was around. Hallelujah. Mercy had turned up. Praise God, somebody. The new covenant of Jesus Christ was about to be revealed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And they tempted Jesus and said, Lord, what do you want to do with us? They had already said they're going to stone her to death. Now, what would you do? And all Jesus did, he began to write in the sand, looked up, began to write some more in the sand, obviously writing the Ten Commandments in the sand for everybody to see in this synagogue. And he simply said, him without sin cast the very first stone. And their faces are on the writing of Jesus in the sand, and they can see the Ten Commandments, and the conviction of the Holy Ghost was there enough to make everybody realize nobody is without sin. And because nobody is without sin, Jesus understands, hallelujah, the second chance. Jesus understands that he is there for you in your darkest hour. And Jesus told her, as everybody walked out, where are your accusers? And she said, they're gone. And he said, neither have I come to condemn you. Hallelujah. Go and sin no more. Praise God. Jesus had forgiven her. Hallelujah. Jesus knew he would take that sin of adultery. He would take that mistake on his back to the cross and then nail it to the very cross. Hallelujah. Just a few days after that, he was going to do that. Grace had turned up. Have you noticed that Jesus didn't say, I will condemn you later, or I will make you suffer for a while for what you did? No, Jesus said, neither have I come to condemn you. I have not come to condemn you. Condemnation is never of me. Hallelujah. Because once you are in Christ, praise the Lord, there is no condemnation. Hallelujah. If there is anything that condemns you, get rid of it, because it's from the devil. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. There was a woman at the well drawing water. And Jesus read her entire life, prophesied everything that she's ever done. He even found out that she was now with a man that she's not married to, and that previously she's had 5 marriages and 5 divorces, and now she's living in sin. And basically, he showed her entire life. He didn't do it in a condemning way. He came to show that he was Christ, the one who knows everything. Hallelujah. He turned that woman into an evangelist. Hallelujah. Forgiveness took place at that well. Praise God. He said, you don't have to drink that water. You can drink the living water. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can receive forgiveness. You can receive newness of life. You can receive a second chance.
Hallelujah.
This marriage can work. Hallelujah. This time it can work. Hallelujah. Jesus turned up and poured grace all over. Hallelujah. She turned back into that village and became the greatest evangelist in that area. And all she could do was come see a man who told me everything I ever did from my birth. Come see a man. Hallelujah. Jesus is God. Hallelujah. He is merciful and he is for everlasting. Praise God. Oh, he wants to give you a second chance. He wants you to have a lesson learned of the first time you messed up. Maybe the second and the third time you messed up. You are still going from glory to glory. It is still not over until the final trumpet blows. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God can change somebody who's messed up his entire life in his final hour. God can turn somebody who has had a reckless, a prodigal life, maybe 50 years from birth, and then all of a sudden an encounter with God will change him, like he did with that plumber in England, into a great man of God, an apostle that would travel the nations. Smith Wigglesworth was one of those terrible people. He was a reckless person. He was a horrible husband. He made his wife sleep outside on the porch and didn't care about anything. He was a nasty piece of work. But when God changed him, hallelujah, that little Smith Wigglesworth, the plumber, turned into one of the greatest men of God that ever traveled the planet. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Don't give up on yourself ever. Hallelujah. The best is yet to come. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, remember Moses. Moses' journey was a difficult journey. For a start, he was abandoned and rejected, placed in a little basket, kicked on the river, not knowing where he would go. Thank God he was picked up. God had a plan for him. He didn't look that good at the time, but God turned it around. Hallelujah. Praise God. But in the midst of his journey to become this great prophet of the Lord, one of the greatest prophets, the one that was eye to eye with God, or the one that spoke with God on the mountain. Oh, hallelujah. Mount Sinai, where God showed his part of himself, the backside of God, to Moses. Hallelujah. Moses, who had seen God in a way that nobody had seen him before. Moses was another murderer. Moses was another man that in the midst of his journey, he lost his anger, he lost his control, and he smote an Egyptian to death when they talked negatively about God's people. The anger rose up inside of him. God forgave him. Hallelujah. See, it doesn't matter what you've done, because God has not come to condemn you. Praise God. He's come to save you. He's come to change you. He's come to use you. Hallelujah. Praise God, somebody, this morning.
Amen.
There is no sin too great for God to forget about it. For God to wash it away. All you need to do is remorsefully repent of it. Come to God and ask God to forgive it and tell him you will not do that again. Hallelujah. Praise God. There is none righteous, the Bible says, no, not one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Some people, they start in grace and they thank God for everything that they've been forgiven for. And then they fall into the temptation like the Galatians, and they begin to finish. They all of a sudden they think they need to finish it in the flesh. They now need to be very good Christians. They now need to be very religious Christians. They now need to be very perfect people. They now need to be faultless. And they forget that it is only God who changes. It is only God who empowers. More. It is only God, hallelujah, that can change and that can keep you on the straight and narrow path. You cannot finish that what you've begun in the spirit in the flesh. Hallelujah. You cannot finish that what you have begun in the spirit because of grace in the flesh. It is not possible. Hallelujah. Don't fall for that mistake. Don't fall for that error. Your best is yet to come. Praise God. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how bad it was. What matters to God is, are you sorry about it? What matters to God is, have you a repentant heart over that matter? What matters to God is, do you respect and fear the Lord? And God will give you a second chance. God has come to make new beginnings. Everything can change around. This time it will work. Hallelujah. And what about all those mistakes in the past? What about all those mess ups in the past? Well, the more of them you have, the more grounded you are. The more of them you have, the more wisdom you have, because you have learned from them. You have increased wisdom in that. No school could have taught you a better lesson than the mistake that you made. Hallelujah. Amen. You never learned it so well because you failed it so hard. It came close to you. The mistake cost you something. The mistake did something to you. You learned a lesson you'll never forget. The more you have, the more wisdom you have. Praise God. Amen. This time it will work. Praise God. Some of you have to get rid of the condemnation and shake it off. And meditate on that word of God, that if you are in Christ, condemnation is not your portion. Condemnation is not supposed to be on your mind. The devil would like to come around to your house or come around to your mind and knock on your head and say, don't you remember what an evil person you are? Don't you remember the mistakes that you've made? Don't you remember the people that you've hurt? Don't you remember? Oh, the devil would love to remind us of all the things that we've done wrong, because he has this big book carrying around him with everything that we ever done wrong. But Jesus, he washed away everything in that book. Praise God. But the devil keeps a copy, and he wants to keep knocking on your head and say, don't you remember that you can't do this? Don't you remember it went wrong the last time and the one after that? Don't you remember you divorced and divorced and divorced? Don't you remember trying to make you believe it is going to happen again? You're going to fail again. You're going to go bankrupt again. No, this time, hallelujah, it will succeed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God will give you a second chance. Take it wholeheartedly and say, thank you, Jesus, from glory to glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
More favor, more anointing, and more blessing. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Stay humble. Grab hold of the second chance and thank God for him. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And remember that final note, that the second chance, the result is better. More blessing, more favor, more anointing, more prosperity than you could have ever had in the first one. Praise God. Some people, God allows them to go through failure because he has a big plan for them. Hallelujah. Some people, they need to go through this school, which is learn from your mistakes. Hallelujah. God has a school like that. Praise God. And we thank God for it. But all the time, God is on your side. Hallelujah. Never leaving you and never forsaking you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. So I prophesy and declare over you, whatever you've done wrong in the past, put it behind you. Hallelujah. Put it behind you. Hallelujah. Old things have passed away. Praise God. Old things have passed away. God has forgiven you. God has. Sometimes we need to pray this prayer. Lord, forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sinned against us. And sometimes we had to add something. God, please wash away with your blood the memory, the bad memories. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And be free. Don't be a slave to your past. Don't be a slave to your mistake. But step in that awesome future that God has for you. Lord, I thank you right now, and I pray even now that the anointing of the Holy Spirit will break every yoke of condemnation from each and every one of us gathered here together in Jesus' name. This gospel of the kingdom of God shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. And I pray you come on board with me and my team to win the lost. Together, fulfilling the Great Commission, winning souls. Keep me and my teams in the harvest fields around the world. Through our outreaches, crusades, conferences, ministry and leadership training, and the planting of blood-bought churches, together we are reaching multiplied millions of souls. And that is what it is all about for the Lord Jesus Christ. All sermons, Bible studies are always uploaded on the internet. And standing firm against apostasy, false teachings, boldly exposing it, contending for the faith. So I ask you to come on board. Visit our website, because you can give singular or you can give monthly. No gift is too small. Even £5, dollars or euros a month goes a very long way, and it helps a lot. The Lord bless you for your support.